Today's daf is Chulin daf Lamed Aleph. We are holding on daf Lamed Amud Beis. We just read through the Mishnah. Essentially, the Mishnah taught us the halacha of how long the shechita knife has to be, and the fact that there is a minimum length of the shechita knife is directly related to the halacha that you need to be molech umevi in the maisa shechita, that you can't push down, you cannot push down on the knife. That would pasul the shechita. It needs to be in a slicing motion. So that's the discussion. If you only make one motion, either molech or mevi, how long does the knife have to be for us to assume that it's going to do a proper shechita comfortably without any pressure applied to the knife? So that was the main topic of the Mishnah. We have a few other halachos in the Mishnah as well. But says the Gemara, we'll start from the Gemara, Minani Mili, how do I know that it's true that you need such a mice of halacha or mashicha, that you need to be malachum mevi as opposed to push down? Amar Shmuel, Amar Kra, Chet Shachut L'shonam, Mirma Diber, that the pasuk says that their tongues are like an arrow, and they speak deceit. So the term shachut, as Rashi points out, machet halachas b'mashicha, avshchita b'mashicha, that it's teaching us that just like an arrow goes when you pull back, so too shchita has to be in a pulling or pushing forward motion, not in a pressing down motion. Tanit be Rabbi Shmuel, v'shachat, ein v'shachat elo mashach. V'shachat means mashach. V'cheinu omer zav shachut, and that's what the pasuk means when it says zahav shachut, also means mashuch, that it has to be pulling back. V'omer chet shachut l'sholom yirma diber. My v'omer, why do I need that last pasuk? V'chi teim zav shachut shenitve kachut. Maybe you can say zav shachut means that shachut just means that it's spun like a thread, so tashma chet shachut l'sholom, that's why we bring the pasuk of the arrow, which obviously has nothing to do with being spun like a thread. Gold, you could say, Zahav Shachut, you could say, it might be about being spun like a thread. You're not going to say such a thing about an arrow. Period. Now the story. Rava have a badak le gira le Rabbi Yona bar tachlifa v'shachat ba'ofa ba'hadid parach. Pretty impressive feat. Rava would check the arrows of Rabbi Yona bar tachlifa, make sure that there were no pegimos in the arrows. Then Rabbi Yona bar tachlifa would take an arrow, shoot it at a bird, and shecht it in mid-flight. He was able to hit a moving target, pumped right in the neck, and do a proper shechita on the moving target. So frankly, Marv Dilma Avid Chalada, maybe he missed by like a centimeter, and it didn't slice the front of the neck, but it burrowed into the side of the neck and did a shechita that way, and that's a violation of Chalada, where the knife is hidden because it goes inside of the neck. So how can you tell that he actually did a proper shechita? So says Gemara, there's an easy way to tell by looking at the bird as the arrow's hitting it. Chazinan gidfi demiframi. You would see feathers flying if he hit it in the right spot. If he hit it in the front of the neck and you look afterwards and the bird has sliced in front of the neck and feathers were flying as soon as it was hit, it must have been hit in the front of the neck. That was the way that they would be able to tell. So Frakta Gemara, but still, what a madnazach. How could they rely on such a shechita? Okay, the shechita may have been fine, but when you shecht a bird, there's another mitzvah whenever you shecht a chayiv of, and that's a mitzvah of kisui adam, v'abai kisui. How are they going to cover all the blood? The blood is probably all over the place. How are they going to cover the blood? So v'chitem demachasulei, and if you can say, well, they tracked it down and they followed wherever the blood went and they covered it up. V'am Rabbi Zeira Merav, but still that's not good enough, because Rabbi Zeira Merav taught us, Hashochet Tzorech Shiten Afar Lemata Ve'afar Lemala. Not only do you need to do Kisui Adam by putting dirt on top of the blood, you also need to put dirt under the blood. So how are they going to do Kisui Adam? Shenemar V'chisau Be'afar Afar Lonemar doesn't say that V'chisau Afar, you cover dirt on top of it, Ela Be'afar Melamicha Shochet Tzorech Shiten Afar Lemata Ve'afar Lemala. So we see that the din is that it's not good enough to put Afar on top, you have to also put Afar underneath. So how are they able to do that? Obviously, when he's shooting the bird, you can't imagine that he was that good that he knew exactly the spot that all the blood would land also, and then he put off for Lamata. So where says, no, he didn't know exactly the spot, but rather, he took like the whole general vicinity, and he lined the entire thing with Afar, and he figured wherever the blood falls, it will land on the Afar, and then they'll be able to put it on top of that. So if you look at Rashi over here says, Afar kala bika haya masiya v'kotesh. He would crush up the dirt because it has to be loose dirt. It can't be like mud or hard clods. It has to be loose dirt that you use for kisui adam. So they would crush up the dirt. Oshaya afar tichuach. Or maybe it already was loose dirt. Umizamno bipel lekach, and they said, we are hereby declaring this loose dirt that's on the ground as dirt that's going to be used for kisui. So it sounds like, according to Rashi, that stage is necessary. That you need to say, unless you're going to do a maisa where you actually put the dirt there or crush the dirt there, if the dirt's already there, you actually need hazmana bepeh. You need to say that I'm putting it here l'shem kisui, and because Rashi is based on the Gemara. The Gemara says demazmin lei la'afar dukula pitka. How are they mazmin? So one of two ways, either by doing a maisa or by declaring this act of hazman, by declaring that it's huzman for the mitzvah of kisui adam. Now it happens to be Tosfos disagrees on Pei Gimel and Beis. Tosfos Dibra Maschil Tzarech says that no, well, you don't actually need to be mazmin bepeh. When it says mazmin dekula pitka la'afar, it means that there was karka kasha. He says like Rashi's first pshat, the ground was hard, so they had to crush it up. That's what it means mazmin. But had the ground been soft, they would not have had to do anything. They would have just been enough having it there. That would have been enough. So what is the nekudas hamachlokas between Rashi and Tosfos? Why does Rashi require a hazmana bepeh and Tosfos not require a hazmana bepeh? So Beis Halevi in his Tshuvas Chelik Beis Simin Yudalid points out that the machlokas is whether the Afar Lamata is a chelik of the mitzvah of Kisui Adam, just like the Afar Lamala is a chelik of the mitzvah of Kisui Adam, or maybe no. The Afar Lamata is a requirement, but it's not part of the mitzvah. How do you have a requirement that's not part of the mitzvah? It's a tenai in order for the conditions of the mitzvah to be met. It's a tenai that you need to be met in order to have the ability to do the mitzvah. But it's not a part of the mitzvah itself. Similar to, you need a beged of Dalet Kanfos in order to do tzitzis. The mitzvah is the tzitzis, the mitzvah is not the beged. But in order to do the mitzvah of tzitzis, you first need a beged of dalet kanfos. So maybe that's what Rashi and Tosfos are arguing about. Rashi holds the afar lamata is a chelik of the mitzvah of kisui, and therefore you need to put afar mamish there, or at least to be mazmin bepeh. You need to do something in order to make it l'shem mitzvah. But Tosfos holds no, the afar lamata is just a mitzias that you need in place in order for kisui to be done. So just to set up the mitzvah, you don't need to be mazmin v'peh. If the mitzvah is there, it's there. So then you're able to do the mitzvah of kisui just based on the mitzvah. So in Shiurei Arav, on page Kufnun Beis, he points out that there's a machlokas rishonim in the nusach of the bracha of the mitzvah of kisui adam. The Torah writes that the bracha is al kisui dam be'afar. And the Rambam has al kisui dam without the word be'afar. So what are they arguing about? It could be that what they're arguing is as follows. The Torah holds that the afar lamata is a chelik of the mitzvah of kisui, and therefore he says be'afar. We said be'afar is used in the Gemara over here to teach the mitzvah, the requirement of afar lamata. So why would we mention the afar lamata in the nusach habracha? Must be that we're dafka making a point of saying that that's part of the mitzvah, like Rashi. Whereas the Rambam holds the afar lamata is not part of the mitzvah. The afar lamata is just a mitzias that you need in order to do the mitzvah of kisui adam, and therefore there's no reason to mention it in the nusach habracha. Now he points out in a footnote over here, footnote 233, that still it's tzarchin a little bit. We generally don't mention the pratei hamitzvos in the nusach habracha. We mention the basic idea of the mitzvah, generally not the pratei hamitzvos. So even if you hold up for lamata is a chelik of the mitzvah, it's still somewhat unusual that would warrant mention in the Nusach HaBracha. So he suggests perhaps another approach to what they're arguing about in terms of the Nusach HaBracha. There is a machlokas between the Rashba and the Ra'ah. The Rashba in Torah Sabayis, by Salaf Sharhei, Yotas HaMaralf, writes that if you shecht and you didn't have Afar Lamata, let's say they shechted and they forgot to put Afar Lamata, so you would have to put down offer somewhere, take all that blood, and then throw it on top of that offer and do the kisui again. So you would have that would be the halacha, says the Rashi, because you didn't do a proper kisui adam. The Ra'ah says, no, if you didn't put offer lamata and you're ready, the blood is already on the floor and you already covered it, lamala, so you don't have to go and redo the whole thing again. You don't have to put offer lamata and then put the blood on top of it again. So the Ra'ah is a major tzarachiyun. Sounds like if there's no offer tichoch lamata, you didn't have any offer lamata, you don't have to move the dam. Why? Why not? You didn't do a proper kisui. Why wouldn't you have to move the dam? So he suggests, or Soloveitchik suggested, that you could suggest, you one could ask the following question in regard to what's the status of a kisui without afra lamata? What are you missing if you don't have afra lamata? Not what we said before, is it a chelik of the mitzvah, not a chelik of the mitzvah, it was just a metzius. No, maybe you could say it as follows. Is the chisaron without afra lamata a chisaron in the kiyum mitzvahs kisui adam? Or is it a chisaron in the maisa kisui? Meaning, is it considered that the blood is covered, you just didn't do the mitzvah properly? Or is it considered that the blood isn't even covered? Because covering means both lamata and lamala. So how would it play out? According to the Ra'ah, as long as there's afra lamala, it's considered, the metzius is that it's considered mechusa. You didn't do the mitzvah properly, but it's considered mechusa. There is a halacha that if you have blood on the floor from a chayiv ha'of, and then wind comes and blows dirt on top of that blood, so the halacha is that while the dirt is still on top of that blood, you do not have a mitzvah of kisui. Why do you not have a mitzvah of kisui? You didn't do the mitzvah of kisui. You definitely didn't do the mitzvah of kisui. The wind blew dirt. No, since b'mitzias it's mechusa, so your mitzvah of kisui doesn't apply. So that's how the Ra is going to understand. If you forgot to put afra lamata and the blood was there and you threw afra lamala, so granted you didn't do the mitzvah of kisui, but b'mitzias it's mechusa, and therefore there's no reason to go and cover it again. Whereas the Rashba would say, no, it's not just that, it's not b'mitzias mechusa, it's a chisaron even in the status as being mechusa. It's not considered mechusa if there was no afra lamata. So the Rashba will say, you need to again put dirt down underneath, put the blood on top of that dirt, and then do a kisui on top. You have to do a proper kisui adam because it's not even considered mechusa at all. It's not at all comparable to the case of the wind blowing on the dirt, because at least over there it's mechusa in the end. So maybe that's the machlokas in terms of the nusach habracha, that the Rambam holds that even if afra lamata is a chelik of the mitzvah of kisui adam, still doesn't warrant mention in the Nusach HaBracha, because we never mention details of the mitzvah in the Nusach HaBracha. But the Torah holds, what do we talk about in a bracha? We talk about the Maisa Mitzvah. We talk about the very basic Maisa Mitzvah. So the Torah holds that without the Afra Lamata, there's not only Chisaron in the Mitzvah of Kisui Adam, there's a Chisaron in the Maisa Kisui. There's a Chisaron in the Metzias of a being Mechusa. So that warrants mention in the Nusach HaBracha. Because the Nusach HaBracha is always on the Maisa Mitzvah. The brachas in general, Rav Shach points out in Eretz Tzvi, brachas in general are not on a Kiyuma Mitzvah, they're on a Maisa Mitzvah. So the clearest raya is from Sfiras HaOmer, that if you hold that Sfiras HaOmer is one big mitzvah, and if you miss one night of Sfiras HaOmer, you lost the whole thing. Well, if it's one mitzvah, why do I make 49 brachas on one mitzvah? That's very strange to make 49 brachas on one mitzvah. Elamai, what do you say? The bracha is not on the Kiyuma Mitzvah, it's one big Kiyuma Mitzvah. Brachos are always mesukan on a maisa mitzvah. So you make a bracha on each maisa, and each night that you count is a new maisa mitzvah. So over here as well, the nusach of a bracha is normally going to include the maisa mitzvah, not every detail of the kiyuma mitzvah. And as such, it makes sense that if you hold that the afra lamata is part of the maisa mitzvah, so then you understand very well that it's going to make its way into the nusach habracha. But if it's just a tanai in the kiyuma mitzvah, it's just something that you need for the kiyuma mitzvah, it's not going to make its way into the nusach habracha. So that's the issue in terms of the kisui dam afar lamata, as Rav Soloveitchik explains in Shiurei Rav. Now it happens to be interesting over here. What was he doing? This Rav Yona was Rav Yona bar Tachlifa was hunting. He was shooting birds. And, he was shooting birds with a bow and arrow. He was hunting. So there is a famous tshuva in the Nadav Yehuda, Madura Tinyani Yardea Simin Yud, whether a Jew is allowed to be a hunter, whether you're allowed to go hunting, if that's an appropriate sport for a Jew to play. So he discusses that, I don't know, play, but it's an appropriate activity for a Jew to do. So he discusses the issue of Tzar Bali Chaim, and he says, well, it's not really Tzar Bali Chaim because there's human enjoyment out of it. Tzar Bali Chaim is needlessly doing this. And he says, says that maybe that even if there are no technical halachic problems, he says, you know, a Jew has to stop and ask himself once in a while, who are your heroes? And look back at Tanakh and look at who the people that were hunters were. And it was Esav, it was Nimrod. These aren't the people that we want to emulate. These are not the people that we want to be like. So I saw Sharmat Zion of Halacha says that, so what was he doing over here? How could Rabbi Yonah go hunting? It's who are his heroes? How could he, why is it? So I thought it was a strange kasha. He wasn't hunting, he was shechting. So he happened to be a very good shochet. He was able to hit a moving target. But he was shechting. That wasn't a maysa of hunting. So Sharmat Zion of Halacha suggests differently. He says that, he was trying to, sometimes you're allowed to do something that looks strange and that may be a little off if it's an opportunity. If it's a teachable moment, if it's an opportunity to get the Talmidim asking questions where you're going to be able to teach them something. So he was able to teach them about the halacha of Kisei Adam. He was able to teach them about halacha of how you know that it wasn't a chalada and that it was a proper shechita. So it was a teachable moment. That's his Vartas Ramam, Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Daled Halacha Vav, that says that a Rebbe is allowed to be mata the Talmidim. He's allowed to mislead the Talmidim through some sort of action if that's going to be mechadadan, if it's going to cause them to ask, and he's going to be able to use it as a teachable moment. Okay, the Marik in Shorosh Lamed Ches proves from here that even if a person is zara ka'uf miyada la'achar ha'shchita, even if right after you did the shchita you drop the bird and then you check the simanim, that it's still okay. You don't have to assume that maybe you only checked it, you only shechted miyot simanim, and when you dropped it, the impact caused the rov simanim to be cut. Marik says you don't have to assume that, and the rai is from this gemara. It's another halacha you learn from here, because what happened? He shechted the bird mid-flight. The bird then landed to the ground. Well, how does he know he got rov simanim? What he checks? Maybe it was the impact on the landing to the ground that caused the rov simanim to be cut. So you see that you don't have to worry about such a thing. The Tvor Shor says it's not really such a good raya because it's easy to be able to tell the difference between that which was cut by a knife and that which was ripped afterwards. It was possible for them to tell. Maybe for us, we don't know how to tell the difference between that which was cut by a knife and that which was ripped afterwards. So it's a raya that there was such a din, that if you drop it, you're allowed to still assume that you shechted rov, if it looks like you shechted rov. But it's not necessarily a raya that there's still such a din, that if you drop it, that you're allowed to assume that you shechted rov. Okay, let's go weiter in the Gemara now. So hayushochet vihitis, the Mishnah had said that if you're shechting and you chop off the head of the animal, so that's no good. So how long does the knife have to be? So the Gemara said, the Mishnah had said rather, the knife has to be as long as melot tzavar, the width of the neck of the animal has to be the length of the knife. So Amar Rabbi Zera, melot tzavar v'chutz l'tzavar? That it means not that the entire length of the knife should be the width of the animal's neck. It means that the length of the knife should be the width of the animal's neck plus another width of the animal's neck. It should be twice the width of the animal's neck. So you buy luhu melot tzavar v'chutz l'tzavar kimelot tzavar dahavelu trei tzavari. Wait a second, is that what it means? Does it mean that it needs to be twice the width of the animal's neck? Odilma melot tzavar v'chutz l'tzavar mashahu. Or maybe it means that the knife should be as long as the width of the animal's neck plus chutz l'tzavar, just means plus a little more. How much more? A mashu more. It doesn't have to be a whole nother width of the animal's neck more. So if the animal's neck is, let's say, 6 inches wide, so do you need the knife to be 12 inches wide? Or do you need the 12 inches long? Or do you need the knife to be 6.5 inches long? So that's the shayla. Tashma Gemar says, well, let's bring a raya from the Mishnah. Mishnah says, hayishokhit vihita shnei roshin bebas achas. If you're shechting and you chop off two animals' heads at one time, im yesh l'sakin melot tzav echod kosher, if it has the width of one animal's neck, it's kosher. My melot savar echod, what does that mean? Ilema melot savar echod v'su lo, if it means literally that the knife is just as long as one animal's neck and that's it, hashab behema achas bin melot savar chutz savar v'shtei behema sagilu kum lot savar echod, that doesn't really make much sense. If when you're shechting one animal, all you need is the, again, assuming a 6-inch neck, all you need is the knife to be 6.5 inches long. And when you're shechting two animals, all you needed is to be 6 inches long? That makes absolutely no sense. El pshita melot savar chutz l'shnei tzavarin. Melot savar must mean that in addition to the area on the animal's necks that are being shechted, the the width of the animal's necks that are being shechted, you also need another full melot tzavar, which means, if you're shechting one animal that has a 6-inch wide neck, you need a 12-inch long knife. If you're shechting two animals that each have a 6-inch wide neck, you need an 18-inch long knife. You always need one neck's worth beyond what you're shechting. Shmamina, obviously, only if you're shechting two animals at the same time, side by side. Obviously, one after the other, so that's one animal. So shmamina, melot tzavar chutz letzavar shmamina. So we see very clearly from there that melot tzavar means melot tzavar chutz letzavar, that you need a neck full of length on your knife beyond the original neck full of length that's on your knife. Fine. So again, the Mishnah said that's only if you're holich velo hevi. But if you go in a back and forth motion, if a person goes back and forth in their shechita, then the halacha is it could even be, the Mishnah had said, even an izemel, even a little scalpel, even the tiniest knife would be fine as long as you go in a slicing motion the entire time. So Amar Rav Menashe, be izemel she'in lo karnayim. Using a scalpel is okay as long as it doesn't have any protrusion sticking out of it where you could where it might get caught in doing the shechita. It has to be a clean slicing motion. Amar Rav Acha b'Rei Rav Avi l'Rav Menashe machtamai. What about using a needle? Amar Leih machtam mivza buzzel. What do you mean using a needle? That's just going to pierce it. That's not going to slice. So no, we don't mean using a regular needle. Machta du ushkefi mai. Rashi says it's talking about someone who works with leather. They would use like a, it was almost like a tiny sword. It was a little knife that had, that was sharp on both sides and had a pointy tip. So that's why it's called a machat, because it had a pointy tip, but it was really sharp on both sides as well. It could be used as a knife as well. So can you use such a knife? Amrei Tanina, filu kol shehu, my love machta dushkafi. Well, yeah, that our Mishnah said, if you're going in a moluchu mevi motion, if you're going in a back and forth motion, even if it's a very small knife. So isn't this a perfect example of that? So of course that's going to be fine. It's a very small knife. You go moluchu mevi, it's fine. Says Mar lo izemel. No, maybe the Mishnah was just telling me that an izemel is good enough, that a scalpel is good, but not that this leather worker's knife is good. So says Marna, izemel bahedya katanila. When the Mishnah says that a kol shehu, it can't be talking about izemel because it already said izemel. Izemel is mentioned in the Mishnah. So it must be that it's teaching me another type of knife, so it must be the leather worker's knife. Says Marna, not so fast. Prusha kamafarish, my kol shehu izemel. Maybe when it mentions izemel, it's just explaining what it meant by kol shehu. But the leather worker's knife would still not be good. In fact, it's most mistaver to assume that the Mishnah is just explaining itself. If you think you're allowed to use the leather worker's knife, then why would the Mishnah even need to mention that you're allowed to use an izemel? If you're allowed to use the leather worker's knife, of course you're allowed to use an izemel. Says Gemara, no, izemel might be a bigger chiddush. Izemel srichle, I might have thought that since a lot of times scalpels have little protrusions that stick out of it, that you shouldn't even use a scalpel that's purely straight, because you might come to use a scalpel that has a little protrusion that sticks out of it. So therefore it's a bigger chiddush to tell me that you're allowed to use any scalpel, lest a person think that you're not allowed to use any scalpel out of a fear that you might use a scalpel that has things sticking out of it. Kamash Malan, that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. But maybe in a chinami, the machta d'ushkafi is also going to be okay. Fine, period. New Mishnah. Totally new halacha, again, relating to shechita, obviously, but now we're going to discuss the issue of kavana b'shechita. Do you need to have kavana to do the ma'aseh of shechita? So says the Mishnah, nafla sakin v'shachta, if a knife fell and it happened to have shechted, what luck? The knife just fell off a table, and a chicken was walking with neck up for some reason, or lying down on its back right underneath the table or sideways, and as the knife was falling, it sliced right past the chicken's neck, did a perfect shechita. So, afal pisha shechta kedarka, even though it shechted normally, the way it's supposed to shecht, psul, it's going to be possible. Shemar v'zavachta v'yachalta, ma sha'ata zoveach ata ochel. The pasuk says, v'zavachta v'yachalta, you need to do the shechita. You can't have the knife do the shechita on itself, you need to do the shechita. So if you had a right, so if the knife did it on its own, it wouldn't be good. It needs to be a ma'aseh shechita done by a person. So says Gemara, but wait a second. There are a lot of a lot of different situations that you can set up that are somewhere in between the knife falling and a shochet just doing a regular ma'aseh shechita. What about some of those in between cases? So let's be medayik in our Mishnah. Taima d'nafla, it's only because the knife fell on its own. Say the wind blew it off a table or something like that. There was an earthquake and the table shook and it fell off. That's when it's not going to be good. Hahi pilahu kshera. But it sounds like if a person made it fall, even though the person is not actually sitting there doing a ma'aseh shechita, but the person made it fall and it happened to have done a shechita, that would be kosher, v'afagav d'lo mechavit, even though the person had no intention whatsoever to do a shechita. So man tana d'lo binun kavana l'shechita, who's the one that holds that you don't need kavana to do shechita? Amar Rav Rabbi Nassan, that's the sheet of Rabbi Nassan. T'tani Yoshia z'ira d'min chaviraya zorak sak in the notza b'kosel. We have a brisa that says that if you throw a knife to just stam, play darts, to throw it into the wall, to stick it into the wall, v'holcha v'shachta k'darka, and while you're throwing it, a bird happened to have flown by at that moment, and the knife went and shachted right across the bird's neck, so you clearly weren't trying to shacht the bird, you were not Rabbi Yonah bar Tachlifa, who had this talent to hit a moving target, you were just trying to throw the knife into the wall, and it just happens to be that it sliced right through the bird's neck, so Rabbi Nassan machshir, the Chum Pulsum. Rabbi Nassan says, yeah, that's fine, that's kosher shechita. The Chum say it's pasul. So Hutani Levuormala Halacha, Rabbi Nassan, and Rava said the halacha taka is like Rabbi Nassan, that we pass like Rabbi Nassan, that it's a kosher shechita. I Vamar Rava Chadazimna, didn't Rava already teach us that one time, that we follow Rabbi Nassan, and that the Stamishnais assume like Rabbi Nassan, that you do not need kavana by shechita? It's not, because we have another Mishnah, Vikulin Sheshachtu Vachem Ronos on shechitas and kshera, the first Mishnah in the Masech. Right, we were speaking about if a katan is doing shechita and other people are watching, the cherishat of a katan is doing shechita and other people are watching, the shechita is kasher. The shochet of his cherishat of a katan is unable to have kavana. So apparently, we're assuming that as long as other people are watching, that the ma'aseh shechita is done properly, you don't actually need kavana for the shechita. So who's the author of that Mishnah? Vamarava? Rabbi Nassani, and Rava says it's Rabbi Nassan. So why does Rava need to tell me the same thing from Rabbi Nassan twice? That the Stam Mishnah is go like Rabbi Nassan, that we pass like Rabbi Nassan. Says Gemara, those are two different halachas, two different chidushim. One halacha, but two different chidushim. Sricha, diyashmin hasa mishum dekam mechavin l'shum chaticha biolam. If you would have only taught me the case of the cheresh advokat and doing the shechita, I would have said that's because he's at least having kavana to do some sort of slicing. Aval hacha delo kam mechavin emelo, but when you're throwing knives against the wall, you're not even trying to slice anything. You're just trying to stick your knife in the wall. I would think that's worse. That's not even a kavana for slicing, that's worse. Viyashmin hacha mishum from the Kasimikov Ben Das, and if you would have told me the case of throwing the knife in the wall, that's where Rabbi Nassan says it's okay, I would say, yeah, that's okay, because at least the person who threw the knife is a Bar Das, and therefore is able to effect a proper Shechita. Aval Haslam Dol Kasimikov Ben Das, Emelo. But over there where it doesn't come Mikoch Ben Das, I would think it's not good. So Tzricha, therefore, I need to be told that it is good. That's why Rava needs to tell me in both situations that the shechita is going to be kasher. But bottom line is, we have this fundamental machlokas tanaim, Rabbi Nassan and the Chachamim, presumably whether you need kavana for shechita. That the Chachamim say you do need kavana for shechita. Rabbi Nassan holds that you do not require kavana for shechita. Says the Gemara Vayter, Itmar, also relating to kavana issues, nida shenensa v'tavla, if a nida was ne'enas and she was tovel, she toveled in a mikveh without trying to be toveled in a mikveh. Some onus happened. The Gemara Naman Beis is going to describe exactly how that happens, but I'll give it away now. Let's assume like the Maskana of the Gemara, at least one opinion in the Maskana of the Gemara. She fell in. She was walking near the mikveh or near a pool that was a kosher mikveh and sat in stahu near the ocean and she fell in. So she was on savatavla. She wasn't intending to even go for a swim. She stam, fell in. The other day in the Gemara, she was intending to go for a swim. And, just a little bit of a swim and her head fell in. The rest of her body fell in at once. But whatever it is, Sa'am Ravidam Rav, Tahor Lebesav Asur Lechel B'Truma. Very interesting chilek. She's Tahar, but she's not allowed to eat truma. She's Tahor Lebesa, but she's not allowed to eat truma. Meaning she's allowed to be with her husband, but she's not allowed to eat truma. She's not Tahor in the sense she's not allowed to eat truma. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Af Lebesa Lo Tahor. Rabbi Yochanan says, nah, she's not even allowed to be with her husband. It's not a valid tefila at all. Amar Le Rav L'Rav Nachman, L'Rav Domer Tahor Lebesa V'Asur Lechel B'Truma, Avon Karis Hutra Isur Misa Mibayi. Says, I don't understand. If you're going to say that she's allowed to violate an Isur Karis and be with her husband, that she's not going to be considered a Nida, we're going to be Mekel on the Isur Nida, which is which is Nisr Karis, we're not going to be Mekel and letting her eat Truma. It's so much more serious. The being a Nida Labailu is so much more serious. So it says Gemara Amalei Bailu Chulinhu. V'chulin lo bai kavana. No, here's the rule. The rule is that a Tvila without Kavana works for chulin, for mundane purposes, doesn't work for kodesh. Truma has a certain sanctity to it, doesn't work for truma. What does emerge from here is that there are beis dinim benida. There are two dinim, there's tzvei dinim in Hilchas Nida. There's the din of tuma and the din of Issel Baila. And those are two totally separate dinim when it comes to Anida. Rav Yosef Engel in Asfon Daraisa, Simon Chaf Aleph, points out that there's a Kuzari. Rav Shachty used to joke that whenever he opens up his Kuzari, it opens up to this page, because it's the only page of the Kuzari that he had read. But I think now I've heard him quote a lot of other Kuzaris. I think he really read a lot more. But anyway, the Kuzari, this is probably one you read most often, the Kuzari says that that one of the questions that's posed, Kuzari has a whole bunch of challenges to the Jewish religion, a whole bunch of questions about the Jewish religion. So one of the questions was, if you don't do Tumah and Tara nowadays, no one goes into the Mikdash, and we don't eat Truma B'Tara, and we don't do nothing, none of the dinim of Tumah and Tara nowadays, so why do Nidus still go to the Mikvah? There's no tumatara, so we're all tamei mesim. We don't do paradu. We don't do anything. So why does it need to go to the mikvah? And the teretz is because nida has tzvei dinim. There's a din of tumah v'tara in the nida. There's also a din of iser labayla. So we don't go to the woman doesn't go to the mikvah nowadays because of tumah v'tara. She goes to the mikvah for iser labayla. L'may nafkamina whether it's tumah v'tara iser labayla. So one is over here according to the shita of Rav that it's tahor lebeis asulach l'chum is whether you need kavana. Another nafkamina Tosfos Maseches Baba Kama Daf Yud Aleph talks about Tosfos talks about that the Safek Tumah Bereshus HaYachid is Sveko Tamei even on a Svek Sveka. If you the rules of Safek Tumah are Bereshus HaYachid Tamei Bereshus Rabim Tahar, and it doesn't matter even if your Marba calls Svek Sveko Shabi Olam in a Bereshus HaYachid, any sort of Safek is going to be Tamei. What about in Dinim of Isra V'Heter, not in Dinim of Tumah? So would you say Svek Sveka Lakula? So yeah, in Dinim of Isra V'Heter you'd say Svek Sveka Lakula. So Tosfos and Baba Kama points out that when it comes to Heter Labaila, we're going to rely on a Svek Sveka. But when it comes to, it's a complicated case over there of Yatzah Mitzvah Shilya and Yom Rishon, Yom Shein, whatever, leave out the details, but it's you're going to say Svek Sveka Lekula, whereas in the din of Tumah, you would never say Svek Sveka Lekula. This is the difference between Tumah and Tara versus Heter Lebaila. The Ran and the Ramban point out that this machlokas Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, where the chulin requires kavana or not, has nothing to do with the general machlokas of mitzvos trichos kavana or mitzvos ein trichos kavana, because over here, it's not a mitzvah per se that we're discussing whether it requires kavana. We're dealing with whether the matir requires kavana. That you're being matir the chulin, you're being matir the animal. Shchita as a matir doesn't require kavana. As a mitzvah, it could be mitzvah strichus kavana. Question is, does it work as a matir? You're going to say, what do you mean? Tevila is not just a matir. We have a concept, tevila bizmana mitzvah. So Shar Mitzvah Balacha quotes from the Tshuvas Be'er Yitzchak that even though there is a general concept of tevila bizmana mitzvah, it doesn't mean mitzvah in the conventional sense. It means that you have a requirement to go and be matir. She has a requirement to be matir herself on time. But it's really be'ikr, it's really a matir. Be'ikr, it's not really a mitzvah. So Chasam Sofer suggests the following, that Misvari says, even if you're going to say that as a matir it works without kavana, but if you hold mitzvah strichas kavana, she hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah of tevila. So you could actually say that there are two elements in tevila. There's the matir that she becomes mutar lebaila, but then there's also the mitzvah of being tavelas. Maybe you're going to say that without kavana, it's only chulin to be tar lebaila, so it's going to work without kavana. She'll be mutar lebaila, she'll be tar lebaila. But in terms of the mitzvah of tefillah, she didn't do the mitzvah. And therefore, says the Chasam Sofer, or the Shem Tzad Malacha conjecture, you know, he says the Chasam Sofer would probably tell you that if she fell into a mitzvah and became mutaris lebaila, that l'chora she cannot fulfill the mitzvah by being tovelas again. Because part of the mitzvah of tefillah is to be tovel in when you are tameh. If she was already tahar, so it's not a maisa tevila. It's just a rechita bialma. Stam, she's bathing. That's got nothing to do with the maisa tevila. Okay, let's go weiter in the Gemara. So now that we have this rule that chulin, for chulin you don't need kavana to accomplish something in the mundane world. You don't need kavana, like to be mutaris lebaila. You don't need kavana. So says Gemara, mina temra. How do you know that chulin doesn't require kavana? The Gemara is going to have two suggestions. Suggestion number one, ditzanan, we have a mishnah. Galshin nitla shubar bam sa'a. Let's say you have a large wave that has 40 sa'a of water in it. V'nafal ala adam ve'ala kelim. And then the wave falls directly on a person and on kelim. Taharin, everything's tahar. My lav adam dumyu de kelim. So why do we mention adam and kelim in the same breath? Isn't it because we're supposed to compare them to each other? And therefore, ma kelim dola mechabni, just like kelim, which by definition can't have kavana, af adam so an Adam that the wave falls on also doesn't require Kavana. So you see that the Tahara can work even without Kavana because it's the Chulin. So you see, that's the Raya. Says Gemara, no, not a good Raya. Mimai, Dilma B'Yoshev Mitzap asking, name is Sayyid Shagal. How do you know that the person we're talking about is not having Kavana? Maybe he's sitting there waiting, when is there going to be a wave that will be able to be Mitar me? That's how he was intending to use it for Tara. Aye, but we compared it to Kalim. Maybe the comparison works the other way. Not that it's Adam Dumya de Kalim, but it's Kalim Dumya da Adam. The Kalim Dumya da Adam, Ma Adam to be in Kavana, Af Kalim de Kamachavi Luhu Adam. Just like Adam, it has to be the person who's having Kavana to be Tovel, so too, when the Kalim are being Tovel, it has to be that the owner of those Kalim or a person who's with those Kalim is trying to get them to be Tovel. Obviously, the Kalim themselves aren't going to have Kavana, but the person is going to have Kavana for his Kalim, and maybe you need that. V'chitema b'yoshev mitzapa ma'elmeimer, and if you're going to say, well, wait a second, if you're going to make such an ukimta that the guy is yoshev mitzapa, that he's waiting to have the wave hit him, well, then what's the chiddush that it works? Of course it works. He's a tovel in a proper mikvah with kavana. So I might have thought that a moving wave, we should make a gzera, that it's like a stream coming down a mountain, which is not a valid mikvah, that if we allow him to be tovel in a moving wave, we're going to allow him to be tovel in other types of moving bodies of water that may not be a kosher mikvah. Inami ligzer rushin atukipin. Or I might have thought, even more likely, more closer to home, that if I allow him to be tovel in the wave as it crashes down, that I'm also going to allow him to put his kelim under the kippah of the wave. When the wave first comes up, it forms like a dome that you might think that you could put the kelim in there and have them be toveled in there, which does not work. So I would have you might come to make that mistake. So that's the big chiddush that kamash milan de lo gazrinan, that we don't make such a gzeira. So basically, where are we right now? We're back at square one. We wanted to know what's the source that chulin does not require kavana. So we thought we had this great raya from the case of the wave, because it must be that they're not having kavana, but then we just said, no, the case of the wave is where you are having kavana. You're yoshev umitzapa, you're waiting for the wave to hit you. So just parenthetically, we happen to have mentioned in that discussion that in the kippah, in the dome of the wave, the tevila doesn't work. So once we mentioned that, just a quick aside, how do we know that that's true? Because we have a mishnah, matbilin brashin, vein matbilin bekipin, she'ein matbilin ba'av. That if you're matvil in the kippah of the wave, that's considered to be a tevila ba'avir, and that doesn't work. So that's why it's not going to help. It's considered tevila ba'avir. But again, we're back to square one. How do I know that chulin does not require kavana? So the Gemara gives its second and final answer. How I know chulin does not require kavana? El chulin, and again, remember, it was machlokas tanaim, whether chulin requires kavana or not. Or machlokas amoraim, rather, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Right? It was only Rav who said that chulin does not require kavana. Rabbi Yochanan said she was not Torah Lebesa. Chulin does require Kavana. So we're within Rav. Where does Rav get the idea that Chulin doesn't require Kavana? El Chulin lo by Kavana miya minalan. So where do I get it from? So second and final answer, Ditznan, we have a Mishnah. Perush enough l'utoch amas hamayim. Fourth parak machshirin. If peros fall into a body of water, upashat misha yad of tameos, v'natlan yad of tahoros. And someone whose hands were tamei stuck his hands in to get those peros. He wasn't trying to do until sidayim. He was just trying to get his peros back. So his hands are tahoros. Uperos in b'chiyutan. But the peros are not hukshar lekabel tuma. The very first Mishnah Machshirin tells us that in order for something to be hukshar lekabel tuma, just something with my kids yesterday, in order for something to be hukshar lekabel tuma, it's not enough that the peros come in contact with a liquid. They have to come in contact with the liquid biratzon. You have to want them. At some point, you have to want that liquid. What does it mean you have to want that liquid? So the Mishnah says, you have to want it either betchila or basov. Either you want the liquid for some other reason, you just want it to be there, or you want the liquid to actually be in contact with the peros. That's Pasha Pshat in the Mishnah. It's actually Machlokes Rambam and Raavad, exactly what Tchila V'Sof means. Let's say Pasha Pshat. I wanted it to rain desperately for some other reason, not because I wanted my peros to get wet. That means I wanted the liquid B'Tchila, when it rains. But B'Sof means I actually wanted it to touch the peros. Over here, you neither wanted it B'Tchila or B'Sof. You had no intention for this liquid at all. All you were, your peros nebuch fell in, and you were trying to grab them. So the peros are not Huchshar the Kabbal Tuma. But the imbishvil sheyudchu, but if you wanted to rinse off your hands also, once you're putting your hands in, you wanted the peros to be rinsed off, so yad of taurus, your hands are going to be tahar, uperos b'chiyutan, and then the peros are going to be, sheyudchu yadav, you wanted to rinse off your hands, the peros are going to be huchshar lekabel tuma. Why? Because you wanted that water there. You wanted it b'tchila. Granted, you didn't want the water to touch the peros, but once you wanted the water there, then that water is going to be machshir your peros to be mekabel tuma. Bottom line is, what did we say? We said that you didn't have any kavan in the first case to do Netil Sidaim. You're just trying to get your peros back, and still the Netil Sidaim worked. Why? Because Chulin doesn't need kavana. So that's our source, that Chulin does not need kavana. So now says Gemara Esri, Rav L'Rav Nachman, Tovel L'Chulin V'Huchsak L'Chulin Asel L'Maiser. If a person went was Tovel for the sake of Chulin, and it was Huchsak that is Tar for Chulin, he's not allowed of Maiser. Huchsak in Lohuchsak Lo. Sounds like it's only because he was Huchsak that he had Dafka Kavana for Chulin that it works. If he didn't have Kavana, it wouldn't work. So there's a Kasha. Says Gemara, no, Hachikamar. Afal Pisha Huchsak L'Chulin Asel L'Maiser. No, the Chiddush is, even if you did have Kavana for Chulin, it's still not going to work for Meiser. But in order to be able to eat Chulin, you don't need to have Kavana for your tefillah, because again, for chulin you don't need kavana. Say isve tavel v'lo huchsakil lo tavel. Another challenge. It says if you're tavel v'lo huchsak, it says if you weren't tavel at all, my love kil lo tavel klal. Doesn't it mean that without kavana your tefillah did nothing for you? So how can you tell me that for chulin you don't need kavana? So lo kil lo tavel lemaiser avol tavel chulin. It just means as if you weren't tavel for maiser, but of course you were tavel for chulin. So who suffered the chuyu kamad chilei? He thought that was just a way of pushing him off, but that wasn't really the pshat. But then nafak dak vi. The Bryce actually says that explicitly, that if you're Tovel without any Kavana, then it works for Chulin. Some of that by the Rav Yosef, let me talk to you with Rav Yochanan Meha. Wait a second, what about the other Shita? What about the Shita that holds that Chulin does require Kavana? So is this a Raya against him? Some of the Rav Yochanan, who damak Rav Yonasan bin Yosef? Rav Yochanan holds like Rav Yonasan bin Yosef, there is such a Shita in Tanaim that holds Chulin does not require Kavana. Titania, Rav Yonasan bin Yosef, Omer v'chubas. Why does it say we compare the second kibbutz begadim to the first kibbutz begadim when you have a beged that has tzaras? That both kibbutzim need to be done, kibbutzim need to be done ladas. So you're saying the tchbosus needs to be with the das kohen? No, tamlam v'ter mikol makom. But you need the das bailim. So you see, there is such a sheet in Tanaim that even for chulin you require das. Maskef l'Rav Simi Barashi umiyam Rabbi Yochanan hachi. Does Rabbi Yochanan really say that for chulin you require das? V'am Rabbi Yochanan alach k'stam mishnah tan nafla sakim v'shachta af v'shachta g'darka psula. Our mishnah said that if a knife falls and shechts that it's possible. So that, because there's no das v'avin b'taim et nafla ipila huk shera. But it sounds like if it's because there was no adam involved at all. But if a person knocked it down, it would be kosher. V'avak avdulom mechavin, even though there's no kavana. So you see that for chulin it does work without kavana. V'amrin mantan lo. So the Stam Mishnah is going like Rabbi Nassan. Shouldn't Rabbi Yochanan have to pass like the Stam Mishnah that you don't need Kavanah for Chulin? Why does Rabbi Yochanan say you do need Kavanah for Chulin in regards to a woman going to the mikvah? So says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan would admit that Shechita is different. B'Shechita, I feel Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef Midigali Rachmanim is asik b'kachem pasul mechlal dechulin lo bin kavana. Shchita is different because by shchita there's a special din that if you don't have kavana for kachem, it's no good. That implies that for chulin, even without kavana, it is good. But generally speaking, other chulin related issues without kavana is no good. For rabbanan yehid lo bin kavana lizvicha lechaticha biinan, and the rabbanan will say, granted, you don't need kavana for shchita, but you at least need kavana. You know, we'll pick up from the rabbanan tomorrow. Mitzvah Hashem, we'll stop there. We'll pick up from the Rabbanan tomorrow.